This is tape two of two tapes of the Saturday morning, May the 29th, 1982, teaching session by Colonel Speed Wilson at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas, teaching on rapture.
Looked up rapio. Found out a very interesting thing. Said the same thing as apazo in Greek. To choose, to take by force, to be made one, or to prefer over others. And in the dictionary it says, quote, the root word for the English word to rape. Fits, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like rapture to me. Rape is a pretty hairy thing, I imagine. But anyway, it's just to take by force, to prefer, to become one. Sure fits. Rape. Now we go on with the letter. A Greek to English dictionary gives additional accurate translation of apazo, quote, to snatch, to become one, or to be made one. And that's what born Greeks that were born and raised in Greece, tell me it really means. And any one of these meanings could be an accurate translation of the Greek word apazo. It certainly could. You just have to pick. So it is simply a matter of selecting the one translation that would agree with all the other scriptures on this same subject. Considering all the other scriptures, it becomes so very clear that 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the Greek word apazo, should have been translated, will become one or be made one together with them, the departed saints. Then it would agree. This agrees with all the other scriptures and contradicts absolutely none, and it would be a fulfillment of Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 21-23, when he says, Father, let them be one as we are one, you and me and them, that the world may know that you have sent me. Now that would be that fulfillment, and that's what the word apazo literally means. So now, and of course, we also, it also be a fulfillment of 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 2 Thessalonians 1:10 and Hebrews 11:39, and does not disagree with any. Now with this correct translation of apazo in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 17, so forth, tells us much about the time when we, the saints, the church, etc., will be transformed, transfigured, or changed at the coming of Christ. So we'll read it now. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Christ. This whole discourse is about the dead in Christ. You have to remember that. That's the subject, not you and me. We're just sort of thrown in as an afterthought. I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep or dead in Christ, that you sorrow not, even as others do that have no hope, the Sadducees, no resurrection. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and well believe that, even so, in like manner, them which are asleep or dead in Jesus will God bring with him, with Jesus, when he returns. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we, the saints, the church, etc., who will be alive and remain. That's interesting. Look up the Greek word remain. It means survive and are left in our proper positions upon the earth or in the body of Christ. And, of course, we talked about all the other scriptures, Proverbs 2, 21 and 22. Shows that the wicked are the ones that are taken or destroyed. And besides, how is it possible to remain and yet be caught up? Unto the coming of the Lord shall not proceed or have any advantage over them which are asleep or dead in Christ. Verse 16, the Lord shall descend from heaven. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 11. He will come in the exact same way he left. Jesus went directly from the earth to the dwelling place of Father, and he will return directly to the earth. He will not ricochet off in a rapture to come at a later third coming. See, if he comes for a rapture, then he's got to come again later on, so you got three comings. Well, then we which with a shout and the voice of an archangel at the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, that Greek word rise means set up or be resurrected. They will be resurrected first. Then we which are alive and remain, that is, survive and left all around on the earth, shall be made one together, not caught up, at the same time with them, that would be the dead in Christ, their spirits are with the Lord, their bodies are in the ground, in the clouds. And, of course, we find that great cloud of witnesses that can't be perfect till we become perfect, Hebrews 11:40 and also Hebrews 12:1. When Jesus brings them, their departed spirits, to be out of this body, your spirit, just to be with the Lord, with him. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and Jude 14, makes that very clear. The divine cloud, very interestingly, always came down. Nobody ever went up. Isn't that interesting? We could give you, we'll give you some of those scriptures. Exodus 19:11 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, first two verses. Matthew 17, second. and Mark 9:2, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the word air there is the Greek word aero, meaning atmosphere, not heaven at all. It's the atmosphere. And this is how we shall ever be with the Lord, not in heaven, but in the atmosphere, and not for 7 years in a holding pattern at 40,000 feet, to come back at a third coming later on in the book of Revelation. We can see in 2 Thessalonians 1:10 and Revelation 5:10 and Revelation 11:15, wherefore comfort ye one another. Now let's look at this, the air. We know that the atmosphere, and you can look it up anywhere as an aviator, I'm well aware of it, the atmosphere ends at approximately 50,000 feet. And then you go into the troposphere. So you have to use rockets out there, isn't enough air to keep them going, the air breathers. But the bodies of the sea, we're in the air right now. Did you recognize that? If you're not, you're having a hard time breathing. Doesn't have anything to do with being your feet off the ground. You're in the atmosphere. You're at the very bottom of the atmosphere, to be exact. But the bodies of the dead in Christ are either underground, in the sea, or been cremated, whatever. And at the resurrection, they shall rise first, because they have to come up out of the ground or wherever they are. They have to get a little head start. But as soon as they come up out of the ground or wherever they are, and into the atmosphere, then we will join them simultaneously. As their spirits reunite with their resurrected bodies, then together with them we shall be made one. Not caught up, we shall be made one. And forever be with the Lord here on the earth. You'll find in Ephesians 2:2 that Satan or the devil is the prince of the what? Air. Christian astronauts that went to the moon and other places, Charles Duke and the others, said a very interesting thing was confirmed. Once they got about 100 miles, was the first time they noticed it, once they got about 100 miles from the earth, every time they had a problem and prayed, they got the answer immediately. There was no interference. Satan wasn't able to jam the lines because he's restricted to this little bitty thin thing around the earth called atmosphere. See, science is confirming God's word any way you want to slice it. They're not in conflict with science. Science just confirms God's word. Jesus was in the atmosphere on the Transfiguration, and he's standing right there when he was transformed and transfigured. That's an interesting one. Everybody says, oh, there it is. He goes to prepare a place for you. We're talking about this. Did you ever think about it? In my Father's house there are many mansions. How can you get a mansion in a house? No, in my Father's dwelling places there are many places for you to reside. There are many members of the body of Christ. The word there is tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you in the body of Christ, that where I am, the King James says, there you may be also. But if you'll read if you have an honest King James, they had to put the word T-H-E-R-E in italics because the there ain't there. They just put it in to make it agree with their doctrine. So if you'll just line that out, knowing it wasn't there, but it says that where I am, there you shall be also. Where was he? Standing right in front of him, eyeball to eyeball. But you know where he was? He says that you may be as I am, right here. Me, the Father in me, and me in you, that the world may send you. That's what it really says in context. He wanted you to be where he was spiritually, not physically. Besides, it goes on to say, if he goes, I'll come again. So he's coming back anyhow. And either way, you're still here on the earth. So he was right here in the air, but his feet was on the ground. This is interesting, Matthew 27:52. After Jesus was resurrected, the graves of the dead saints were opened, and they arose and came out of the graves and went into the city and appeared unto many. And they were recognized. They were not seen flying through the sky, oh, and I'll fly away, oh glory. No, they were walking the streets, and people recognized them. So you can see that. Quickly, I just want to quickly give you some of the other 13 uses of the word apostle so you can begin to catch it. John 17:12 is an interesting. The wolf catcheth the lambs. Did he rapture them? No, he ate them. But you see, it fits because they became one. Now the lamb's inside and they're, the lamb and me and the lamb. And that fits, doesn't it? They became one, apostle. And catching away or catching up, that which is sold. Matthew 13:9 and Acts 8:39. None of it has anything to do with the saints. And Oh, there's really no need. Jude pulled them out of the fire and plucked them, or to take by force, Matthew 11:12, and John 6:15, and Acts 23:10, and all those. So it's a perfecting type thing. Well, you know, first time I taught on this down at Christian Retreat, Gerald Erstein's, and he asked me to teach on it every year down there, that and other subjects, there was a saint came stomping up to me and said, "Yes, but Brother Speed, what about Matthew 24:35? So we looked at it, and this is what it says. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." And I thought, glory to God, isn't that beautiful? I said, "Well, what's the point?" Well, the saint said, "If the earth's going to pass away, then we got to get out of here." It didn't make logical. I said, "Well, where are you going?" "To heaven, of course." And I said, "Well, read it again. Heaven and..." "Oh, heaven just passed away, too." Sad. You know, you've heard about the atheist. He used to be pitied because of the dead atheist. He's all dressed up and nowhere to go. He doesn't believe in hell or heaven, so there he was. So heaven had just gone away, and she didn't have any place to go. Then before she cracked up, I told her, I said, "If you knew what it literally said in the Greek, it simply says, the heavens will change, and the earth will change, but my word never changes." She's got nothing to do with passing away. Well, we got a bunch of yeah buts around. "Yeah, but how about the church doesn't appear after Revelation 4? Well, I got news for you. God didn't know the difference between the church, the saints, and the body of Christ. If you don't believe it, read Ephesians 4:11-13 and Ephesians 5:27. He treats them as synonymous. And I got news for you. The saints are mentioned 13 times after Revelation 4. And old 666 is giving them a bad time. And they're coming up out of the tribulation. There's one brother, he and I disagree on almost everything. But as he says, we can disagree without being disagreeable, and we do. We just agreed to disagree. But he has 7 raptures. And as I told him, I said, "You might as well have 7, the perfect number, when you can't even justify 1, so why not have a perfect number? There's nothing wrong with that." Isn't that interesting? Well, then the last trumpet wasn't the last trumpet if you got 7 of them. Feel sorry for old Gabe. He's winded bonking on that horn for all these raptures coming. An uncertain trumpet. Isn't that interesting? 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, "If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall we prepare ourselves for battle?" Prepare yourselves for the rapture? Oh, for battle. You're into a battle if you didn't know it. So the rapture doctrine is clearly not correct. Well, what about the book of Revelation and all of those sort of things? All those pictures of heaven. Well, how would you know what it's going to be like on earth when the Lord's prayer is answered if you didn't get a picture as painted in the book of Revelation, the streets of gold that look like glass? In other words, they're pure. All the wicked is gone. Man, you got a new heaven and a new earth when all the wicked are gone. And the present order of things will be changed when all the wicked are gone. He's taken all the wicked out of the kingdom and all those that offend and all those sort of things. And so, as we pointed out in the Bible numerics talk, the new Jerusalem is coming down. So if you're going up, you're going to miss it. And it's divine order in all directions. It's 12s in every direction. And it clearly can't be a real city because its foundation is the 12 apostles. It'd be quite a lot of pressure on them if they're the foundation. But they're the beginning, the elementals. And Revelation 11:15. Did you notice the Lord didn't tell us to pray for the rapture? He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, please keep us out of this trouble and rapture us out." No. "When your kingdom has come on earth, it'll be the same way it is in heaven." That's what he told us to pray, and it's going to come. Because when the Lord prays that, and he told us to pray, it's going to come to pass. Revelation 11:15. "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his saints and his anointed ones." Revelation 5:10 says the same thing. "We shall reign here upon the earth," not cloud 9. And as Brother Paul pointed out last night, how can the manifested sons do all the things and greater things than Jesus did up in heaven when they don't have any sick, no lepers, no deliverance, and all that sort of thing? That makes no sense either, does it? Revelation 20:4. "Those which had not worshipped the beast, neither received his image," or "neither his image, and neither had received his mark in their foreheads or their right hands, lived and reigned with Christ here on the earth for 1,000 years. Isn't that great? So, you see, we're overcomers, and we're not copper-outers. And for anybody to teach overcoming and rapture is a contradiction of terms. Because if you got raptured out, you didn't overcome. Ephesians 6:13, our warfare is against the spiritual wickedness of this age. Not in the next age, they're all gone. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil times. That's the times we're in now. And having overcome all, rapture. No, stand. Stand. Praise God. You're preparing for battle, and you're going to win. Here's a beautiful one, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon him whom they have not believed, and how can they believe on him who they have not heard, and how can they hear without a preacher? And they talk about all those that are going to be saved over in the great tribulation, and yet he raptured all the preachers out. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, they say, well, Brother Speed, you took the rapture away. My answer is, you never had it in the first place. I didn't take it away. Well, they say, what's our blessed hope? Well, look it up. It's not the rapture. Colossians, 1st chapter, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing here on earth of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we said, we're looking for the appearing Christ, not the disappearing saints. He comes to be glorified in his saints here on earth. Well, how about the wrath of God? He has not appointed us to wrath. Well, we ought to read the rest of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation, not rapture, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did God rapture the Israelites out of Egypt when he dumped the wrath of God on Egypt? No, 10 plagues. Not even death touched the Israelites. They were kept safe and sound right in the middle of it so that the heathen could look over there and say, man, that's a different group. They're being treated differently. And in the times ahead, you're going to be the witness to all these people. They're going to say, where are you getting it? And you'll say, the Lord God is providing. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, everything that happened to them is a type and shadow and example unto us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Dennis Bennett is a dear personal friend of mine, has been for quite a few years. And he always loved to preach on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he could never remember the Hebrew kids' names. So he thought it was about time he hit them with that sermon again, so he wrote it in a little card and put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in his coat pocket on the inside. And he says, and those three Hebrew kids, Hart, Marx, and Schaffner, wrong Hebrews. Hallelujah. Well, before we get to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how about Job? Was he raptured out of his trouble? No. Job says that God ought to grab the world and shake the wicked out of it. How about Joseph? His own brothers put him in a pit. And then they sold him and he became a slave of Potiphar. And then he was put upon a throne. Ralph Mahoney of California says, poor old Joseph was pitted, potted, and putted. How about him? How about Daniel in the lion's den? The lions probably had a rougher time than Daniel did. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I am thoroughly convinced, is a type of the end-time saints, Daniel 3, starting at verse 13. You remember, they made an image, or a great statue. Remember, Revelation is going to be an image to worship. And they said that everybody would have to worship that or be killed. Well, everybody apparently did, except these Hebrew children. And the king was really fond of them, and he called them in, and he said, listen, I really mean it. My law is, I've written it, and it has to be. Probably wished he hadn't, but anyway, that was the way it was. That's the law. And you're not exempt. Now, I made a fire over here 7 times hotter than a fire ought to be. And we're going to sound on the trumpet. And if you don't bow down and worship that image, we're going to throw you in that fire. Do you understand? And the spokesman for the Hebrew children said, O king, we don't know what our God will do. Do you? He may let you get your head cut off. Hallelujah. You get greater glory. Don't go out and antagonize Mr. 666. Just get your head cut off. But if you do, glory to God. You get a greater glory in heaven. We don't know what our God will do, but king, you better get this right. Our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace, and we will worship no other God. Okay. blowing the trumpet. And they honked on the horn, and the kid stood there. Okay, the king says, okay. Now look what happens. The people that came over and grabbed them and threw them in the fire were consumed by the fire. The tares were consumed. What did it do to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Burned the ropes right off of their hands. The same fire that destroyed the wicked set them free. Hallelujah. Baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And the king looked in and says, didn't we throw in three, and I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, or the fiery furnace, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. We had a funny little poster in the Marine Corps that come to the sign that showed a little Marine that's so high, had all of his combat gear on, his bullet bouncer jacket, and had weapons on him all over the place, and peering out from under his tin hat, and the caption was, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because I'm the meanest guy in the valley. Well, that may be the right attitude if you're on the Lord's side. Satan knows you to be pretty mean if you just exercise your authority. Well, Billy Graham, in response to a book by David McPherson entitled The Incredible Cover-Up, Billy Graham wrote back to him and says, I would rather be prepared to go through the great tribulation and be happily surprised by an unexpected rapture. Billy Graham does not expect a rapture. Neither does Pat Robertson, and neither does Demas Shakarian, and I can go on and on naming people, and Durstein, and Glenn, and many others. Corrie ten Boom, everyone know who that dear old saint is? Corrie ten Boom in the Holy Spirit Convention and Conference or Convention in Jerusalem in 1973 said the rapture doctrine is the demonic teachings of the last day that the Bible warns us against. Now that's strong language. Well, if it's not truth, guess where it came from? It does not give you any initiative to come on to maturity, to be an overcomer. All you got to do is be born again, speak in tongues, and wait for the rapture. Hogwash. Well, is the scripture so clear? Where did we ever get such an idea? Well, I'll tell you. And this can be confirmed through many writings. The latest one being the book, The Incredible Cover-Up, by David McPherson, published by Logos. It was quite a flip-flop for Logos. I know people that they'd ruined in the early days because they were teaching there's no rapture. But they published it anyway, and he found, as everybody else who had ever explored it, that there was a young girl, probably a witch. One found that she was involved in witchcraft. Her name was Margaret MacDonald in Glasgow, Scotland, 1830 to 1840. She fell into a trance. And what she saw in this trance or dream, she related to Dr. Irvine of the Irvinites. And he got together with Dr. Derb Darby of the Plymouth Brethren. And by distorting scripture and taking out of context, they confirmed her dream to be a pre-tribulation rapture of the saints. Then they shared it with a Dr. C.I. Schofield. And he put it in his footnotes, and that's where we got it. So it was literally dreamed up, possibly by a witch. Well, what about the people that teach rapture? Well, God will determine that. I don't have to. But I do know that Jesus said, anyone who deceives one of my children, it's better that he was never born and had a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the sea. I pray that they're doing it in ignorance, and I hope God will forgive them, because they are deceived. But anyone who's listening to this tape is no longer deceived, and now they have to make a decision. Are they going to teach the gospel, or are they going to continue to lead people into deception, which can lead to destruction? Well, Luke 21:28 is a scripture. Look up when you see all these happening. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. The rapture people says that redemption is rapture. No. The look up simply means don't be depressed. Lift up my glory and the lifter of my head, remember? Look up, be happy, for your redemption. What is redemption? It's a glorification of your body. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says it. Romans 8:23 and verse 29 also. We groan within ourselves for the redemption of our body, to be conformed into the image of God's Son. that Jesus might be the firstborn of many brethren. Philippians 3:21, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body to be likened unto his glorious body. And James, 1 John 3:2, when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him. So that is the glorification. Now, it would be very simple, and I put this at the very end. I just want to review, because of the tapes that I measured, sent out, I put a worksheet in it, and my challenge is, now I've given you over 50 scriptures that says there isn't going to be a rapture, so now you give me an equal number that says there is. And believe me, that shut down a lot of correspondence. And so I will challenge that on the tape. Now you can resolve this for yourself. Just over on one side of a piece of paper, write down John 15, John 17, 15, and 20. Father, I pray that you do not take the believers out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Okay, now you can find a prayer where Jesus prayed that you take the saints out. That's all you have to do. And Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 13, 41, and 13, 48, and 13, 49, and in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 41, and also in Luke 17, 26 through 30, quote, that before the coming of the Son of Man, the wicked will be taken, that is, destroyed or converted, from among the righteous. Now, all you have to do is come up with about seven scriptures that says it's the other way around, that the wicked are going to be left and the righteous are going to be removed. And God tells us in Ezekiel 9:4 and Revelation 9:4 that the wicked shall be destroyed from among, right in the presence of the righteous. But they'll be left because they have the seal. So all you have to do is find two scriptures that are going to work the other way around. And we've given you the scriptures of Psalm 145, verse 20, and Proverbs 2, verse 21 and 22, and Proverbs 10:30, and Psalm 125, verse 1, that the upright shall remain in the world, and the perfect shall dwell in the world, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be destroyed from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. So all you have to do is find some scriptures that tell us that. And you can take it to your preacher, your commentary, or wherever you want to do it. Might be a good exercise for your preacher if he is a member of the rapture cult. Cult literally means a dedication to a precept. Well, I believe this to be the most serious era of teaching in the body of Christ. Because you're going to be like the two men or the disciples of Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus. Remember the story? Luke 24:13. Two of the Lord's own disciples were on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus came and walked along beside them. And the scripture says their eyes were beholden, and they knew him not. I thought, Lord, my, that is awful. But read on and you know why. Jesus says, why are you so depressed? They said, oh, you must be a stranger in the land, because we thought we had found the Messiah, but he did not reestablish the nation of Israel. They had swallowed the Pharisees' and Sadducees' doctrine, hook, line, and sinker, and because they were in that doctrine, they didn't recognize Jesus, even though they'd spent over 3 years with him. Then he opened the scriptures from the beginning to the end and revealed himself. Man, I'd like to have a tape recording of that. Glenn doesn't in that ministry yet. So if you're planning on a rapture, see, the rapture is almost like dispensationalism. Dispensationalism makes it possible to dispense with everything that you don't want. Well, rapture, they're going to be gone before they take the number. They're going to be gone before Mr. 666 shows up. They're going to be gone before the tribulation and all those things. You see how blinding that can make you? Awful. Well, I'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and this is the sincere prayer of my heart for all. May the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he, Jesus Christ, is faithful to do it. Philippians 1:6 says, don't ever forget, he that began a good work in you will complete that work by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, we're all looking for the appearing Christ, not the disappearing saints. And we're all going to be overcomers, not copper outers.
Hallelujah. Any questions? Glory to God.
Yes, ma'am.
The question is about Mr. 666. See, I prefer not to call him Antichrist because Antichrist only appears in five times in the whole Bible. And it's in the first and second epistles of John, and it's a spirit. However, there is a man, Mr. 666, in the second beast of Daniel Revelation, who will be totally possessed by the spirit of Antichrist. The question is, what about him being cast into the lake of fire? Well, as you'll remember the scriptures, Satan is only bound by God's servants at the beginning of the so-called millennium, but then he's loosed for a short period of time, and probably 3.5 years, something like that, at the end of the millennium, and then the Lord returns, the man Jesus Christ literally returns at the end of the millennium, not at the beginning of the age of the coming of the Son of Man. Because if we have him returning at the beginning of this age, the beginning of the 1,000 years, then you got three comings again. He's been here once, and he comes at the beginning of the millennium, and then at the end of the millennium. He clearly comes at the end of the millennium, and I really put 1 Thessalonians 4:17 with the resurrection at the end of the millennium, because he's very clear over there. He brings the saints with him. But anyway, that's another whole subject. But anyway, but then he's put into the fire pit and destroyed completely. See, he's only bound during the Sabbath year, the seventh year or the third day, the seventh year. The day is 1,000 years. So you have to remember that he's bound at the beginning of the millennium, he and his servants, but then he's destroyed finally at the end of the millennium. Oh, the fiery pit. I don't know, but it's seven times hotter than the fire ought to be. The question was, where is it? I don't know any more than I know where heaven is. I can read the Bible and find at least three, possibly seven heavens. Because if Paul was caught up into the third heaven, there's got to be number one and number two. And you can find seven. It's God's dwelling place, so let's not worry about where it is geographically. Yes, Morris? Yes. Did you hear that? The statement was that people who have done additional research on Margaret MacDonald, Margaret MacDonald in her own handwriting said that she and her sister, her natural sister, had been sick with a high fever, and of course this vision or trance would clearly, if that be the case, was a hallucination. Either way, it came from the devil. Didn't come from God's word. And Jesus said the devil is a liar and the truth isn't in him. So if it isn't truth, then it had to come from the devil. Corrie ten Boom may be a little rough on people, but you know, she loves you too much to let you go to hell or be caught in the fire of falling away. And the people say, well, Speed, you're going to lose your ministry. I don't have a ministry. And, you know, I just soon stay home and develop some real estate I got anyhow. When I talk about the International Money Group, somebody blurted out, says, Speed, if you don't quit talking about that, they're going to kill you. And I just said, well, heaven doesn't scare me all that much, you know. Absolutely.
And we want to be teaching the unbelievers, right?
Well, you bring the unbeliever to salvation, as the Spirit draws, and then you will be teaching the others. See, the Word of God is given not only for salvation, but for the maturing of the saints. I dare say anybody that's attended these conventions regularly know more Scripture and more scriptural truth than most of your preachers. All your preachers generally know is what they told them at the theological cemetery or theological seminary. And they're all wrapped up in the commandments and traditions of men which are taught for doctrines. And Jesus jacked them up about three times on that stupid approach. Then the wicked ones, now here again, I've said about four times that the wicked ones are not going to be taken up. They're going to be converted or destroyed. Converted or destroyed. I would like to think most of them are going to be converted. But if they don't, then they will be destroyed. They may even destroy themselves. Did you ever think maybe it's going on now when we have 100,000 suicides in the United States in 1 year? The destruction may be going on now. And don't you ever think Christians don't commit suicide? Boy, the fundamental churches tell a man, you ought to be living this kind of life. They're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they can't live that kind of life, and they end up schizophrenic, and they end up going to the nut house, and some commit suicide. See, it's a farce. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot have the power to be a witness. You can talk it, but you can't walk it. There's one Japanese said, and he came over here and says, you Christians always talkie-talkie, you ought to walkie-walkie. Somebody else had a... Yes, brother.
We were listening to a tape on this subject here, Thessalonians 4,
yes.
13 through 17.
Mm-hmm.
believe it was Lee Ellenwood.
Yes.
Well, it might have been. It
doesn't make any difference.
He said there's a time period between chapter six, verse 16 and verse 17.
It could be.
Quite a length of time period.
Could be. It doesn't say that, but it could be. He was saying that there could be a time lapse between verse 16 and 17. That's the meat typology. You know, they go out, like Mary went out to meet Jesus when it came to Lazarus. And it's the same word. They went out to meet in a short time period back. But be that as it may, the scripture really doesn't say that, but I have no argument with that. My teaching is there isn't going to be a rapture. I don't know about the time lapse, in fact.
They're caught up, even though.
Well, they're caught up. It has nothing to do with going up.
They're caught up together with them.
Yeah. Sure, we'll be made one with them. They're urging us on because they can't enter into the fullness of what we do. It's very simple. There's two groups. Those that are dead in Christ that are going to be reunited with their glorified bodies. Their spirits are out of their bodies right now, and they come back. Thessalonians, Revelation is very clear about that. And then we who are alive and remain, says Corinthians 15:51, we shall not all die, and some will overcome death. But if you're dead, so what? You'll be resurrected first, and as soon as your body comes up out of the ground or wherever it is and into the atmosphere, into the air, then together in the air, right here on the earth, we will be joined to them and to become one. Apostle, isn't it? You got to realize, and you can do the same thing I did. Just take your King or Young's Concordance and Strong's Concordance and look up the word up and you'll find it's not there. Talk to some Greek. Two dear Greeks at Pittsburgh Bible Institute, they were reading Greek Bibles and they found that they were born and raised in Greece. And this is when I first seeing this, I knew what the things meant. And so I asked them, what Bibles are you reading? And they said, well, we're reading the Greek Bible because it's easier for us to read. And I said, boy, I've been looking for you. And so I went over my Young's Concordance, and I looked over Apostle, and I copied the Greek letters. And I went over and lunch, and sure, there they were. And I had it on a little 3x5 card, and I added it to him. I didn't realize I had it upside down, but he turned it around and read it, and I said, what is that word? And he said, Apostle. So I wrote it out phonetically, Ah with a hat over it, and Pa with a hat over it, and Zo with a dash over the top so I could speak Greek. Apostle. And I said, what does it mean? He said, it's hard to say. And I said, well, could you demonstrate? He said, yeah. So he grabbed me, and boy, he really hugged. Just, you know, almost crush a rib. When he let me go, I said, oh, it means to embrace. Or, no. He said, it means you're one, and I am one, and now we are one. Just like that. Well, that's apostle. You know, the Lord says, let them be one as we are one. You and me and them. Like the wolf, he apostled the lamb. He ate him, and they were one, you know. Like the preacher said when he ate the prize red rooster. And the son that had raised the red rooster said, oh, he's awful. He's a cannibal. He's eating it. And the preacher said, well, I know it's about time that rooster entered the ministry.
We were talking about catching being born and all that. Okay, the body's going to be raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they're going to be changed.
What are you talking about? Now, you'll find the rapture people say that the rapture is in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Doesn't have anything to do with the rapture. Doesn't even contain the word apostle. It says that we shall not all die. See, that's about us. The other one, 1 Thessalonians, I would not have you ignorant about those who are dead in Christ. That's about the departed saints. Two different subjects. I think they occur at the same time, but I it doesn't make much difference.
Well, we'll see.
Yes.
We're gaining knowledge.
Yes.
Walking in there. They are raised.
Yes.
Now, they're, when they're raised, their animals got to be changed.
That's right. The sister's bringing up a very interesting point, and I should have mentioned this the other night when I was talking about, or the other morning, whichever it was, about we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And my wife and I, not too long ago, were looking at that, and I thought, well, Lord, why did you give us two time frames, a moment and the blinking of an eye? So, as our habit is, we just break out the Young's Concordance and cross-check it with the Strong's, and we found out the word translated there, moment, and I can't begin to pronounce it, only it was used one time in the whole New Testament. And it's there in 1 Corinthians 15:51. It has nothing to do with time at all. You will be changed. The Greek word is en, which means in or on. In this case, it's probably in. ATMOS. Guess what? Your atoms are going to be changed in the blinking of an eye. Hallelujah. Do you think Jesus' atoms had been changed when he walked through walls? Absolutely. He'd entered into another realm. He could walk through walls. And yet apparently it could have been felt. We don't know that St. Thomas felt him, but he offered himself to be examined. Sure, and we're going to be the manifested sons of God. And, you know, as Brother Paul was pointing out last night, when somebody says he's a manifested son of God, heaven will run at a wall, see what happens to him, you know. I haven't tried it recently. We were talking about a problem. You know, Jesus apparently ate fish with him, and then he walked through a wall. What happened to the fish? Did it... You know, if you can resolve that, you can start a new church. We've started churches over more stupid differences. By faith, we're seated on the right hand of Jesus right now. Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, if we... That's right. That's right. That's right. Exactly. The last enemy, death, is overcome. And it is the last enemy. All the other enemies, they're being overcome now, progressively. But as Brother Paul pointed out last night, we're just getting glimpses of it right now. As Ken Copeland says, we're having faith accidents. We're somewhere along in the 30 to 60-fold, but praise God, one day we'll enter into the 100-fold. Where you won't be just doing things randomly, you'll be doing it as the Holy Spirit leads. Remember that group that came to the Lord, and it's a real serious indictment. They said, but didn't we cast out demons in your name, and didn't we heal the sick in your name, and didn't we do all this? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
But they had him in his name.
Yeah, the Lord honored his name. We don't even know whether or not they were born again. Didn't say anything about it. And they said they were workers of iniquity. In other words, God wasn't telling them to do it at all. Iniquity means you lawless ones, you disobedient ones. Man, Jesus had to step over a lot of folks at the Bethesda pool before he finally got to the one guy that Father led him to. He didn't heal them all there. He just, whichever one the Lord led him, the Spirit led him to. And then he had to ask the guy, do you want to be healed? You know, there's a lot of folks that don't want to be healed. They like copping out and laying around in the sack and let somebody else feed them. We got them in the Marine Corps. I know lots of them. Yes, brother? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you can see in 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter, the falling away, they had to be believers because you can't fall away from something you didn't have. Probably even Pentecostals. But it could be, you know. By the way, it's only 12 o'clock. You know, this, I won't have time to teach on it, but it's one thing. You'll be challenged with this thing, and I get it everywhere I go. It's almost worse than water baptism. Like Ralph Mahoney said, used to everywhere he went. Said, they'd always say, Brother Ralph, how are you baptized? Bless God. And he'd say, oh, I was baptized in a baptistry, in a Baptist church. You figure that's about as good as any. And as he said, as a Baptist, everybody knew that John the Baptist was a Baptist, because that's what the King James says, John the Baptist. And he baptized Jesus, so that made Jesus a Baptist too. So, but... they'd say, no, that's not good enough. It has to be in running water, you know. So the next time he was over in the Holy Land, he got dunked in the Jordan. He figured that ought to stop it. You know, he said, well, were you baptized upstream or downstream? Because if you're baptized downstream, all the sins of the upstream wash down on you. Well, you didn't know about that. And were you baptized in the name of Jesus only? Or are you baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Then you got around, were you only dunked once or three times? In the name of the Father, whoop. In the name of the Son, whoop. In the name of the Holy Spirit, whoop. You know, he's going down for the third time. I guess that's the scripture, and it isn't in the scripture. Finally, he got so fed up, he said they actually had water on the brain. He got fed up, and his answer became, and he'd say, listen, brother, I was baptized once, I was circumcised once, I ain't going to do either one again. Well, that's like this once saved, always saved. That's the question they asked me. What do you believe? Once saved, always saved. Ken Copeland says he never met a Christian who wanted out, so why argue about it? Well, the interesting thing is, those people don't know the difference between their spirit and their soul. See, you're a three-part being, a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, your will, your intellect, and you're currently residing in a body, a pneuma. Pneuma is spirit. Psuche, Greek, is your soul, your mind, your will, and intellect. And pneuma, see, you got psychosomatic diseases. You think you're sick until you turn sick. And so those that teach know you can lose it will pick out all the scriptures that has to do with their soul. Nothing to do with their spirit at all. And they equate the kingdom of God as to heaven. And if you're not in the kingdom of God, no, kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, not pie in the sky. But all of those that say, no, bless God, once you're saved, always you're saved, they'll pick out all the scriptures that refer to their spirit. Neither one of them know what they're talking about. Well, really, they're talking about two different things. But that's the sort of things that Bible schools produce sometimes, not all of them. But that's the answer to that question. Well, any more questions? If not, we go. And one thing is, don't be contentious about the rapture. Don't contend. I find where I'm not teaching and don't have time to go into it, and somebody's holding forth on the rapture, the best thing to do is to ask questions. What did Jesus really mean in John 17:15 when he said, Father, don't take them out of the world? And, you know, and when they say, well, one is taken and one is left, you say, well, yeah, let's read that. I think that'd be real interesting. So then you read it, and they suddenly find out they're getting the wrong folks. And pretty soon you got them so tied up that it'll blow their whole doctrine. And maybe you might even get to read the scriptures. A pastor with a large church headquartered in Springfield, Missouri, wrote me, it started out as a nasty letter, and it ended up being very nice. If it had been me, I'd have changed the letter, but he didn't. You know, it's like the guy chewing out Sears and Roebuck for leaving the handle pump out, and at the end of it, he put, P.S., forget this letter, I found the handle. But anyway, but he started out really chewing me out. And he said, and I listened to your tape, and it made me so mad that I got the Bible and checked it out, and he said, bless God, you're right. Brother back here. Well, but you see, the point is, I haven't discussed time. I'm discussing the fact there ain't going to be one regardless of the time. So, you know, they talk about time. Well, Jesus said, don't take them out of the world. He didn't say, don't take them out until the middle of the tribulation. He said, don't take them out ever. And Psalm 125, verse 1 says, the righteous are like Mount Zion. They're here to stay forever. You can't rapture Mount Zion out. Well, I guess God could, but he has no plans for it. And that certainly Proverbs 2:21 and all the words of Jesus shoot that down. So time really got nothing to do with it. Yeah, I've gone into that trap. They say, well, it's all a matter of time. I said, no, it isn't. It's no time. Yes, brother? Yeah, I know that. I had the book up here, Theomatics. You can theomatically show that certainly isn't the Holy Spirit taken out. Because if it was the Holy Spirit taken out, nobody could get saved, and there are a lot of them get saved, you know. And it can't be the preachers, because we gave the scripture, they can't hear if they don't have a preacher, and you wrapped all the preachers out. And it turns out that it is not the Holy Spirit that's hindering the gospel, so guess who's taken out? It's when Satan is bound. And the book Theomatics will show you the theomatic of the words used there, and it's very clearly that Satan is taken out of the way, and he's bound at the beginning of the millennium. See, there again, they haven't read it in context. It's the hindering of the gospel. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't hindering the gospel. And so he, the saint. And by the way, there's a lot of interesting things. They say, well, what about the abomination of the desolation that Jesus referred to the prophet Daniel talking about? Well, Dr. Derek Prince, a professor of Greek and Hebrew, says the words used, translated abomination, desolation, standing in the holy place, are clearly an inanimate object. That means it's a building. Or something else. It's the Mosque of Omar, the Dome of the Rock. And if you'll check some of the works out that were written back in the days of that, many saints recognized that that was what was happening. That the abomination of the desolation was standing in the holy place where the temple is supposed to be, and it's still there today. And you'll find that same is repeated that the man of sin, the son of perdition, is in the neuter gender. It isn't masculine at all. So it's a system. Theomatics, the book Theomatics produced with computers, confirmed a lot of things that I had suspected, but now they prove it theomatically. It's a system. And they go so far to say that it's so clearly a system, they doubt that there is a man involved in it at all. 666. However, they are honest enough to say that, however, there could be one man who would represent that system, but they didn't know what language you'd be able to add up his name. Well, we saw that the other morning. We added up a name in Greek and also in English, three ways in English and also in Greek, and the same man's name works out, 666, and he's around today. And he visits the White House at least once a week to see that everything's going according to plan. And his patsy is our Secretary of State, Alexander Haig, is Henry Kissinger's patsy. Made him a four-star general and never was a three-star. He went from two-star to four-star. We'll be talking about that a little later on. So, praise the Lord. Let's see. The Lord bless you and He will keep you. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.